الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من يعمل سوءا يجز به. وقال تعالى: أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم وختم على سمعه وقلبه وجعل على بصره غشاوة فمن يهديه من بعد الله أفلا تذكرون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Honorable رب العلماء الكرام، respected elders, brothers and friends. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us this opportunity to be present in this very noble and auspicious gatherings, from wherein we learn so much that sometimes is enough to carve the path of our life. From the fundamental principles of Islam, one is to believe in the year after, to believe in Akhirah, to believe on the day of Qiyamah. And we know the very fact that the purpose of Akhirah, the purpose of the day of Qiyamah, is so that account will be taken from us of whatever we have done in our lives, irrespective of who we are, or what we possess, what position we have. End of the day, we will all have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala and give account for whatever we have done in our lives. We know this world is a place where there is cause and effect. You do something, the effect of it is something. There is no such a thing where there is a cause without an effect, or there is no such a situation where there is an effect without cause. And likewise, every action has a reaction. Whether action is good, the reaction will be good. If the action is not good, unfortunately the reaction will not necessarily be good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompenses a person for what he does in his life according to what his deeds are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does never oppress anybody. It has never happened that anybody has done any good and Allah has punished him. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Allah does not oppress any servant whatsoever. So much so that even if he is a non-believer and if he does something good, Allah will recompense him with good in a different way. Maybe not necessarily in the Akhirah. Allah will give him the benefit of the good that he has done in this dunya. But yes, every action has a reaction. Many a times, we experience different conditions. But sometimes we are so unmindful and unaware of the fact that the conditions that we are experiencing is maybe the recompense of what we have done. We do not even understand that maybe I have done something wrong and this is why this is happening to me. We are so oblivious and so unmindful of the situation that we experience. And that is a great deception. For a person, he should be all the time conscious of the fact and mindful of the fact that if something does not go right, the question he needs to ask himself, where did I go wrong? Firstly, we need to understand what is a forbidden desire. When we talk of forbidden desires, desires are not totally wrong. Every human is born with desire. But they have limits. The desire up to a certain point is permissible. Once it crosses that boundary, then it becomes forbidden. So what is a forbidden desire? In our simple layman's term, forbidden desire is sin, is guna. A forbidden desire is sin, it is guna. And sometimes we are in deception. We don't regard that to be a forbidden desire. We don't regard it to be a sin. And because of that, we indulge and then we experience circumstances and conditions which are not favorable to us. We also need to understand that these desires come from where? There are two elements, two forces from where these desires are brought into our lives. One is Shaitan himself. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ He's an open enemy. And he said to Allah Ta'ala, فَأَنْذِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ When he was thrown out of the court, that Allah grant me life up to the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. He had so much trust that Allah will accept his dua, and Allah accepted his dua. And after Allah said, so I give you that whatever life you ask for. Then what he said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ Allah, I will attack these people from every direction. I will come unto them. And I will make them do that which is wrong. Allah, تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ And you will find very few of them that will really be grateful, that will be really conscious of what they are doing. So the one enemy is Shaitan. The other enemy is the nafs, which Allah Ta'ala has created every human with. There is no human who is created without a nafs. And the purpose of this nafs, Allah Ta'ala has put it as a test, that it will try and make you do that which is forbidden. And your challenge and your jihad and your effort is to do against the nafs. Once you go against the nafs, then you have overpowered it. But this nafs naturally never dies. After a person can make a lot of effort, lot of mehnat, lot of zikr, lot of everything, it may seem as if it's dormant, but you never know when it comes up and when it strikes. So you always have to be very conscious of this very nafs. We need to understand that these are the two sources that basically motivate a person to do that which is wrong. Allama Mazzub rahimahullah has very beautifully said, he said, "Ye nafs ke pehlwa ko na chit kar sake tu." He says, "The nafs which is in you, you will never really be able to defeat it. Kabhi to wo daba le, kabhi to tu daba le. Sometimes it will so happen that you will overpower it, and sometimes it will so happen that it will overpower you." Meaning to say that you need to be all the time conscious of this, of not committing sin, not obeying your nafs. As the ayat of the Quran says, "May ya'mal su'a yujzabi." That person who does any evil, any wrong, he will be compensated according to what he has done, for what he has done. You cannot expect that a person or a student gives in a paper without answering any question right and to get 100%. Nothing in life supports that. So if you have done something wrong, you will be compensated according to what you have done, according to the extent of which it is done, the gravity of it, the seriousness of it, likewise you will be compensated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally punishes a person in one of three different ways. One is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment of sin actually also is a means of trying to bring him back, to make him conscious of the fact that what he has done was not right, he needs to make tawbah. But one is when Allah ta'ala, when a person does something wrong, he gets immediate retribution. Immediate retribution in a sense that I did something wrong and I see the effect of it immediately. That is a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala. It gives you time to make tawbah immediately. One other means of Allah's punishment is a person does something wrong now, but the punishment is delayed. And that is a very dangerous situation. Because a person will never realize that what I have done, the effect of it, he feels what I have done is very well, it's good, it's accepted. In the meantime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger holds back and delays the punishment for some other time. Many a times, people have differences of opinion, people go into arguments, some people curse other people, and nothing happens. And particularly many a times when people trouble the awliya Allah, and they trouble the friends of Allah Ta'ala, and outwardly it seems nothing happened. But then Allah Ta'ala delays that punishment. And it comes at such a time when you are at your weakest. When you are at your weakest, and now this punishment comes, and you think, wow, where did this come from? How did this happen? What did I do wrong? Not realizing I have done something wrong so long ago. So that is the second way in which Allah's punishment comes. And then the third way is Allah Ta'ala's strategy of punishing somebody is very clandestine, is very hidden. He is under the punishment of Allah, but he does not even realize he is being punished. He is under deception. And then he thinks, no, life is going good. Allah is so happy with me. In the meantime, all that which is seeming to be good is a source of punishment for him. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, بَعَدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. Sometimes a person becomes neglectful of my advices toward him. فَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. I open all the doors of good for him. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. Till he becomes so happy with what he has, and he thinks he is the man of the moment, he enjoys everything. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذَنَّاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Then I take him by surprise. I snatch him by surprise. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. And then he becomes amongst those who are just in a very critical state. So sometimes Allah's punishment is very clandestine, very hidden. A person thinks that no, this is actually in my favor, but that is actually what is the cause of your destruction. So a person sometimes continues with these wrong or the forbidden desires, and he is under deception, thinking that this is 100% good for me, whereas in that is going to take him to the end. That is going to drown him. That is going to finish him up. Hazrat Allama Aziz Mawlana Thani, Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, has in one of his kitab, a booklet, Jazaul Amal, mentioned very, very important points for a person to know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him, or the conditions that he experiences is the retribution of the deeds of his wrongdoing. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi Nawwarallahu Marqadahu mentioned that there is a heart which every human being has. Magar, is zinda dil murda ban jata hai. This living heart becomes a dead heart. Now if you need to understand what is a living dead heart, you would need to know what a living heart. A living heart is a heart that is always happy. It's always contented. It's at peace with itself. It's grateful for whatever condition Allah Ta'ala keeps it in. And in turn, it gives a glow of happiness on his face. When you look at the man, you see this man is so happy, so contented, he's so much at peace with himself. The face, or rather the windows, are the eyes are the windows of the heart. You see from his face, this man is very much at ease. He's contented. For a person who has a happy heart, it is very easy for him to do good deeds. When you ask him to do certain good deeds, it's very easy for him. Completing his zikr, or doing his extra nawafil, doing his ibadat, charity. It's not difficult at all. And a person that generally has a good heart, a loving heart, Allah Ta'ala's favor on him is all his work gets done. Sometimes you think, how will this person get his stories sorted out? What will happen to him? He seems to be having nothing, no outer means. But yes, Allah Ta'ala takes care of his affairs. Time comes, everything gets sorted out. Nothing is difficult. Why? Because that heart is a living heart. It is all the time connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, a dead heart is a heart which doesn't have or doesn't hesitate to do any sin. When it needs to do a sin, it doesn't blink. The very heart which is a dead heart does not want to accept good counsel. When somebody gives it good advice, who is he to tell me? I know better. I know what I need to do. And this very dead heart, or a heart which is not connected to Allah, when things don't work out his way, then he still has in his mind, I have my context, I know how to do it. I will go here, I will go there, I will go there, I will go there. Ultimately, in the end, he goes to everyone and he realizes nothing gets done. The connection from the top is cut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives insan that period of time to come to realize that, you know, see where you are. In our daily lives also, a very interesting example given by one of our elders is that you have horses. Now you need to fasten the horse to the carriage. So you go, you have certain horses which you know these will be able to pull the cart. You go and you'll fasten them, you'll bring them, you'll take them, and you'll put them to the cart. So that they can transport you. But now imagine a person goes to a person who breeds horses and he says, I want that Arabian stud of yours. I want that racing horse of yours. I want to tie that to the carriage. I want to tie that horse to the cart. What will the owner say? Are you okay? This is not a horse that is made for a cart or a carriage. This is a horse that is a racing horse. This is a horse that is an Arabian stud. How are you going to take this to the carriage? In the very same way, it is up to us whether we want to become normal horses so that we can be tied to the carriages of this world, or do we want to have a heart that is an Arabian stud, a horse which has value in it in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. The choice is ours. Many times people feel that if I do this, nobody will come to know. And under that deception, he goes to do it once, twice, thrice, and finally Allah Ta'ala exposes him. And he becomes so disgraced that he cannot even stand in front of the world anymore. It looks like as if his whole world has sunk on him. So, a person who goes on fulfilling his heart's desires is a person who normally has a dead heart. Hazrat has written in Jazaul Amal that the effects of a person was his deeds. You first judge his intention. If his intention is clean, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, we all know that hadith, then that outcome also Allah Ta'ala will make favorable. And if the intention of that person is not so clean, then naturally the outcome, no matter how conducive the situation may seem, but the outcome will ultimately become a failure. It is mentioned regarding a king who was once going around in the area of his kingdom, and he comes across this orchard belonging to a very pious person. He goes, the pious person sees the king has come, he calls him in, very honorable host, When the honorable guest, he entertains the king, he goes to one of his trees where he had beautiful pomegranate. He brings one pomegranate, he opens it, he squeezes the juice of it, one big nice fresh glass of juice, and he presents it to the king. When the king has that pomegranate to drink, the juice, while drinking it, he says, "This man has got such a beautiful orchard with such lovely pomegranate. I should take this thing from him." That's all that he had in his heart. "I should take this thing from him." After he had that glass of pomegranate juice, he desired for more. So he told this person, "So get me some more. I enjoyed it. I need to drink more." He goes, and he comes again with a few pomegranates. He squeezes, only one third of the glass gets filled. Again he takes another sculpture, squeezes again, another third gets filled. After the third one, the full glass gets filled. So the king asks him, "Did you not bring the pomegranate from the same tree that you brought the first one?" He says, "Yes, exactly the same tree." He says, "Then the first time my whole glass got filled, and it was so tasty. This one has a little bit of bitterness in it. So how come?" The pious person said, "It looks like your intention has changed. Your intention has changed. Aapki niyat mein kharabi aa gayi hai. Because of that, the barkat is gone. Because of that, the barkat is gone." So this is the first thing that happens. You think you have power, you can do what you want to, but Allah Ta'ala works in clandestine ways. He takes it away without you even realizing it is gone. The second important thing that happens to a person is his mind outwardly seems to be very active, understanding, intelligent. And he thinks whatever decisions I make, I don't ever go wrong. But sometimes because of the evil effect and the deception of his illusion, the illusion that he has, that I am doing this and I know exactly what I am doing. And the result and the outcome is totally different. Exactly contrary and opposite to what he expects it to be. Then he thinks to himself, "I applied my strategy, I applied my mind, I did whatever I need to do. Everything was on its place. How come the outcome is this?" He does not realize that what he has in his mind and his heart is not subject to the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's decree works in another way. What Allah wants to happen, happens. It's not what He wants to happen. He wants to make it happen. So this mind of insan sometimes deceives him. And many times I personally heard from, he was involved in some wrong. And one day he comes to me and says, "Mawlana, I just can't get to Haramain Sharifain." So I asked him, "By what's wrong? Why? What's the problem?" He says, "I'm not short of anything. I've got everything here." So I said, "Then what? Where are you going wrong? What's happening? Certain things for a while." But in his heart, he already knew. He says, "Mawlana, when I used to make guna, I used to think when I go there, I'll make tawbah. When I go there, I'll make tawbah." And I continued the wrong that I was doing. But Allah Ta'ala was never giving him the opportunity of getting there. Every time when he thought he wants to go there, or he decided he wants to go there, obstacles were in his way. He never got there. So I told him, "Why, I really don't understand much, but this seems to be the obstacle in your way. Make tawbah first here. First make tawbah here. And after the tawbah, then ask Allah Ta'ala." And it wasn't 2 months after that then he went for Umrah. So sometimes our mind deceives us. We think we're doing it the right way. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala's decree overpowers all our thoughts. And then the third important thing that we need to be conscious of is this ilm that we have, knowledge. Sometimes we have knowledge and we think we know a lot. But that is really not knowledge, that is information. Once Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi asked the students in the class, ilm nafi kya hai, what is beneficial knowledge? So somebody said, Hazrat, that which makes you, which you know, that which makes you to go further, that which benefits you. Hazrat did not answer. The second one said something, third one said something. He kept silent. Then one student said to him, Hazrat, what is benefit of knowledge? You tell us. He says, ilm nafi wo noor hai, ke jab tak uske upar amal na kiya jaye, chain nahi aata. Ilm nafi is that knowledge, that light, that noor, that until you do not make amal on that which you know, you will not be at peace with yourself. It will not, it will keep you restless. And this is exactly what Imam Shafi rahimahullah, when he went to his ustad, what he asked him, that I have a bit of weakness in my memory. Imam Shafi was very poetic, so he said it in a beautiful way, he described it, shakawtu ila waqi in su'a hifzi. I went to my ustad waqi and I complained regarding the weakness of my memory. Fa'usani ila tarkil ma'asi. He asked me to leave sin. And then he says, the reason for leaving sin, فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ. That ilm is the knowledge, is the noor of Allah Ta'ala. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُعْطَى لِعَاسِي. And Allah does not give His noor to sinful people, to sinful heart. So this ilm that Allah gives is noor. But as long as you make amal on that ilm, you know what the Quran says, you know what the hadith says, we know exactly what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. We know what are the prohibitions. We know what are the, what is forbidden. We know the boundaries. But when we cross those boundaries, then that ilm is no more ilm. That ilm is only information. Muhammad Yuk Pitsol, who wrote the translation of the Quran, when he wrote the translation, he was not a Muslim. It was done in a state out of Iman. Later, Allah Ta'ala gave him barakah, gave him hidayah, he became a Muslim. So knowledge, even the mustashrikeen, the Western scholars, many, many priests, have so much knowledge of deen, so much knowledge of ilm, so much knowledge in ilm of Quran, so much knowledge in ilm of ahadith, that us put together don't have. But what don't they have? They only have information, they don't have ilm and nafi. That ilm which they have is not ilm and nafi. It did not lead them to hidayah. It did not lead them to Allah Ta'ala. So it is so important, the little that we learn, the little that we know, it will only be ilm and nafi the day we bring it in practice in our life. Many a times you think, I'm an alim, I know so much, I'm so popular, you know, I go around the world and I have big following. And we go on doing all the wrong things. We get involved in photography and we get involved in mixing and all these kind of wrong things we get involved. And we feel so proud about it. Yes, information we have. If it was true ilm, true knowledge, Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have taken us to that level. We should have stayed very far from this. Look at the lives of our Akabir. What knowledge they had, they lived by it and they died by it. On one occasion, we had the opportunity of being in the company of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. And Hazrat in his majlis asked a question. He said, Batao, تصوف کا پہلا درجہ کون سا ہے؟ What is the first step of tasawwuf? What is the first step of the recognition of Allah Ta'ala? Nobody answered. Hazrat himself said, اپنے آپ کو پورے عالم میں سب سے حقیر سمجھنا. To regard you as the lowest in the whole world. Then Hazrat, unique way, بات سمجھ میں آئی؟ So somebody said, جی سمجھ میں آئی. He said, بیٹا نہیں سمجھے. سمجھنے کے لیے تو پوری زندگی نکل جاتی ہے. To understand that sometimes the whole life goes away, that I am the lowest of everyone. A whole life goes away in that. That means it doesn't just come overnight. You really have to learn to work, to learn to work, be in the company of a sheikh, have somebody's eyes over you to guide you. Then maybe somewhere in life you will come to a point where you will have only started the first step. And Hazrat said it in the end very beautifully. He says, Tasawuf ka pehla kadam, Tasawuf ka akhri kadam. The first step is the last step of Tasawuf. That means, if you have ever achieved this, you've achieved Tasawuf. But it is just so difficult to achieve it. Sometimes when we give a bayan and we say, oh mashallah, very nice bayan, you will feel a little bloated. That is where the problem is. That is where the nafs is. The nafs thrives on those things. Allah Ta'ala forgive us, Allah Ta'ala protect us, and Allah Ta'ala guide us. So this knowledge that we are talking of is only ilm nafi. When that person knows, and what he knows he brings into practice. Until then it's not ilm nafi, it is just knowledge, information. The second thing Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions, that gunah, sins, the retribution of it or the recompense of it comes in a way where Allah Ta'ala takes a person's halal risk away. Halal sustenance is taken away from you. Haram sustenance is in abundance. And haram sustenance has its own effect and own evil. But halal sustenance does not have evil in it. And a person does, for example, goes to gamble and he wins maybe 100,000 rand and he thinks that is, I'm so lucky, I got so much sustenance. But the reality of it all is, what he thinks is abundance is really nothing near abundance. He may be bringing a loss, but there are so many holes to fill. Pay rich one, that debt, this disease, this story, that one's asking, this overdraft, this, by the time he finishes, all that that seemed to be so much was not enough, and he's still in depression. He's still in tension. And then eventually he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, no, this is acute depression. It's like a continuous situation. So, rizq halal, Allah said, chheen leta hai. So, this is so important for us to understand. What is rizq? Rizq is that which Allah Ta'ala gives you to eat. That is rizq. On one occasion, Allah Ta'ala blessed me the opportunity of being in the company of my Ustad Hazrat Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Palanpuri, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, and he was on his safar to Hyderabad. He asked me to accompany him from Darul Uloom side. We went together. I was making a khidmat, and at the same time I was benefiting from Hazrat also. And finally, we went to the All India Institute of Languages. The purpose of their seminar was so that they can bring all secular subjects into the Darul Uloom, so that the Darul Uloom's certificate can be recognized, and they can be given government students that will qualify from this, will be given government jobs, etc., etc., and they will earn a lot of money. Nevertheless, we got there. My purpose of what I'm trying to say is, when we got there, The first day the seminar started, everybody came, different people, very good idea, very good motivational talk, and everybody, a lot of people were in favor, they know it's the right thing to do. Then that evening when I was with Hazrat alone in the room, I was asking him, Hazrat, when are you going to put your dialogue, when are you going to put your document forward? As I said, bhai, abhi main kahunga to kal pura khatam ho jayega. Choro, dekho, do tin kya hota hai. If I'm going to go and stand up now, the whole seminar will be finished. What will we do here for 4 or 5 days? Let them go for 1 or 2 days. Let's see what they say. Then by the third day in the morning, he told me, put my name in that I also want to say what I have to say. Hazrat went onto the podium, a very, very packed university forum, lot of students, professors, everyone. And the whole khulasa of Hazrat's talk was, your people's mission is to earn money, to earn a good life. And for that you need money, you need a very good bank balance. And our whole purpose of teaching is to preserve the purity of deen, to protect deen. He says, what you eat is 2 rotis. What we eat is 2 rotis. Allah gives you your 2 rotis, Allah gives us our 2 rotis. You don't carry your bank balance in your stomach, and nor do we need to carry it. So for what must we go through all this? You carry on doing what you have to do, let us do what we have to do. But everything came to an end. Everything came to an end. Knowledge was that, or rizq was that, which Allah Ta'ala gave, what is filled the stomach. Over and above, your necessities are fulfilled. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gives you over and above, as long as it's in a halal way, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. If it is not in a halal way and you do anything wrong to get that, then that is wabal on you. It is a burden on you. And that deprives you from the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk of knowledge, we talk of people who are giants, but how conscious they were. On one occasion, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahimahullah also invited Mawlana State Sahib to the Merkaz. I accompanied him on that safar as well. I did not know the reason for the safar. After the 3 days when we were returning back, then I asked Hazrat in the car, in the train, Hazrat, why did Hazrat Mawlana Umar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi call you? If I may ask, if it is worth telling me. He says, Ya Allah ka wali, itna zabardast alim hai, itna zabardast alim hai, ke ilm unke kalb pe ilka hota hai. But he called me to sit and listen for 3 days in his bayan that I must not say something which is not deen. How conscious were they of themselves? So these are those bounties of Allah which basically brings a person close to Allah. And a person needs to be conscious of his knowledge. Every man knows. Sometimes you can't say, a person did this, he did not know the consequences of what he is going to do. Or he did not have knowledge of it. You cannot do anything without having knowledge. You may have the wrong knowledge, you may have the wrong person to have put you onto this path. But knowledge you have. So it is our duty to seek the right knowledge from those who are the servants and the friends of Allah Ta'ala. And rizq also, it is our duty to look for halal rizq. These two are very, very important ingredients to save us from the deception of following forbidden desires. Over and above, there are many, many other different aspects that Hazrat has brought and discussed. We can refer to it. But I would end with one saying of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, if anybody can come forward and show me what is my weakness. I will make dua and maghfirah for him. If anybody can come forward and tell me, Amirul Mu'mineen, this what you are doing is not right, is wrong, I will make dua and maghfirah for him. So if you need to be conscious, I mean, in Amirul Mu'mineen, who was that? Umar ibn al-Khattab. Who are we? So we need to be conscious all the time of the fact that we must not become deceived by these desires which are an illusion in coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must be very, very cautious. And the best way of that is to make ta'alluq with Allah wala people like our Shaykh, other Mashayikh, and set under their eyes so that they can guide us as to where we are going, where we are coming from, where we are going, and where we need to go to. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ